Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Come on, I need you guys, need some like crowd involvement today. Who's excited to be in church today? Yeah. Okay, who's excited for what God has for us this morning? Awesome, you guys are with me. We are into our second week of our Mind the Gap series. But first, I just want to share, Pastor Mike mentioned prayer priorities for this year. Do you guys know that prayer works?
Yes.
That our prayers matter, right? The second prayer priorities is that the kids and youth would read the Bible. They would get to know it, that they would believe it, that they would live by it. I had this awesome interaction last week, and this isn't in my notes, but I just felt that I needed to share it. God's doing a work here in our kids and our youth and through our church. At Christmas, we gave out Bibles to kids, and there was this boy who doesn't really attend our church the odd time with family. He took home an Action Bible, and the aunt, who's a parent here, I don't know if she's here right now, I can't share the story as good as her, but she was just so thankful that we gave Bibles out, and this boy went home, and he's just reading it constantly. And what's happening is she's overhearing discussions from her nephew talking to her kids, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Hey, did you know about David and Goliath and all these great stories?" This boy that isn't doesn't come from a Christian background, but has praying uncles and aunts and family. So the prayers of our people matter, and keep on praying for our students, our teenagers, our kids, the next generation. We're going to be talking about the next generation today. How many teenagers do we have here? How many people under the age of 18? Put up your hand. All right, who used to be under 18, put up your hand. Yes, I used to be under 18. Can you believe it? Well, we're into our second week of our Mind the Gap series, a series that is focused on sharing faith from generation to generation. And my focus this morning is the relationship between parents and kids, all right? And my message is titled, Take Aim, Aiming Your Child's Heart Towards God. And what do we see over here? An axe throw, right? And they're plastic, okay? So we're not going to hurt anybody this morning. But my name's Trevor. I'm the family's pastor. I get paid to hang out with kids, families, and parents, all right? I've got the best job ever. So I have two kids. They're 17 and 19. My son is 19. He's in college in the Okanagan. He'll be home at the end of this month, which we're really excited about. He's left kind of a empty gap in our home, so we're happy to have him back. And we still have our 17-year-old till September, who's going to Kamloops in September. So we've gone through the whole family situation, gone through kids throughout, and just when we thought our son was gaining some freedom, he's moving away for the school year, I get one of those awesome dad calls. I don't know if you ever receive one of those awesome calls from your kids saying, right before Good Friday service, we're ready to go to Northgate for that great Good Friday service, and my son calls. I'm like, he'd usually be sleeping in, or I'm like, okay. So he calls and he says, "Dad, the car broke down last night, and it's bad. It's bad. Car broke down, and I had to get a ride home." So that's another it's bad when, right? He couldn't even get the car home. $1,600 later, right? And our kids, it never ends being a parent, am I right? And we're learning that. So kids cost, right? But they're worth it. They're worth it. If we can have a love offering for me at the end of the service, or maybe one of our Gen Zers can set up a GoFundMe page, I would really appreciate it. Actually, no, I'm just kidding. We'll we'll take care of it. If my kids can't eat for the rest of the month, whatever. It's okay. We'll pay for a vehicle. We got some memes. I really enjoy memes. I think church is a great place that we can laugh and have some fun. So let's take some jokes about parenting, all right? You can just start removing all the stressors in your life. I think you could say Kobe at the end of that shot, right? All right. Okay, next one. When I buy stuff for me, when I buy stuff for the kids, just like throwing away money, right? All right, next one. When you hear your kids wake up in the morning, so it begins. Next one. I got two more. How it looks and how it feels. I'm sorry, Raquel. Good things to come. Okay, next one. How you view parenting before becoming a parent, how you view parenting after becoming a parent. You know, all these jokes and all these memes and that, yes, parenting is tough, but it's worth it. It's the greatest, the hardest, you name it, right? If you've parented, you totally understand that those comments. But many parents today are looking for any type of help that they can get in the world of parenting. We've got TV talk shows, we've got the internet, we've got podcasts, we've got apps, we've got books. Yet most parents and families are hanging by this thread of wondering how to do it, how to do the next step. And raising a family is like this wild ride, and that is very accurate to the craziest roller coaster that you've ever taken or that you've ever seen a picture of. And in all these desperate searches for answers on how to raise kids the best that we can, it's so challenging because there's so much at stake. There's so much at stake when it comes to parenting. And when there's so much at stake, it's so important to dig in to what the Bible says. Am I right? So what I want you to do is open up your Bible, and I want you to turn to Psalm 127, all right? So, but let me tell you this right now, that Jesus, the giver of life, doesn't just want your family to succeed or you to succeed. He wants you to thrive. He wants your families to thrive. And I believe this morning and through our four-week parenting course that starts tonight, entitled The Art of Parenting, parents will be better encouraged, and better equipped to be the discipler in their house that God desires you to be. And by the way, tonight, we have planned potlucks, family-friendly potlucks for you to attend, and we've got childcare from our youth ministry. All right? Our youth ministry is providing childcare. It's a fundraiser that they'll be sending students on missions trips. So excited that Pastor Clay has joined in our group. So kids are welcome. We wanted to get rid of all the obstacles for you to attend tonight. And the last time I checked, I didn't check today or yesterday, but we had 32. All right. So we want more people. We want to have fun together. We want to learn together. Want to pray together. And so that's tonight, 5 to 7 p.m. And just come, bring some food, finger foods, and we're just gonna have a great time tonight. So let's get into the Word. Psalm 127, 3-5. I should probably pray first. All right. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are with me, Lord, that you would speak through me. And I thank you for this word that's even challenged my heart. And we pray that it challenges all of ours and helps us to be better faith equippers, that we can equip the next generation together. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 127, 3-5 says, children are a gift from the Lord. Can everybody say gift? Oh, that's awesome. Did you guys know children are a gift from the Lord? They are a reward from him. And children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. All right? Now, I've had the joy of dedicating babies. And I look over and I see this verse in action. I see the joy that a baby brings a dad. Am I right? The joy that a baby brings a dad. And I've been there twice, right? We have any parents that like axe throwing? Parents? Young kids? Whatever? Yeah? Oh, Daryl? Oh, and Nate, come on up. All right. Guys, okay, so I might even have a prize to give our best axe thrower. All right? Tim Hortons cards? Yeah? All right. So I want you guys. Don't hit your what? Or your light. Will this be a problem?
No.
No. Okay. Try to aim this way lower. Okay, let's try. Give him a hand, everybody. Give him a hand, everybody. All right. All right, not going so good yet. Okay, let's go, Nate. Oh, that's he much better than Daryl. Okay. Oh! All right, last one. Here we go. Oh. All right, our winner over here. All right, give him a hand. Oh, man, okay. Well, it's good to have some fun in church. You know what? Axe throwing is kind of like parenting, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that you axe throw at your kids, okay? Don't do that. But axe throwing is like parenting. You may hit the target once in a while, like Daryl, and sometimes you miss hard, right? And our heart, through parenting course, is that we would be better equipped, that we can get more on target. This morning, I'll be talking about four essential areas that the art of parenting talks on to help us mind the gap in sharing faith to the next generation. And all of us in this room can help share faith to the next generation. We've got kids ministry, we've got youth ministry. There's many ways that you can be involved. And even at the least, we want you to be praying for our kids, praying for our parents as they raise their kids. And I'll be referencing the Art of Parenting course quite a bit so you can have an idea what to expect over the next 4 weeks. So our younger generation needs to be trained in four areas. Can everybody say four?
Four.
Character, relationships, which I just realized relationships are going to be talked about next week. In the service, identity, and mission. So these are the four characteristics, four essential areas that we're going to be going through today. So the first essential area is character. As parents and those in older generation, we want our children to have strong character, don't we? We want our children to have strong character. We should desire to have strong character in our life. We desire that our kids would be respectful and kind and honest, integral, nice. But getting the next generation to that point can be so challenging. What does it require for this to happen? It requires prayer. It requires prayer from our parents. It requires prayers from our grandparents. I'm so thankful for the example that my parents were to my kids. Growing up, they were always there to help. They're always still giving phone calls. And hopefully you learn some of these great, great ideas next week at our grandparenting workshop next Sunday night, all right? If you're a grandparent, make sure you're there. But to be honest, it takes you building a lot of character in yourself to teach your kids character, doesn't it? We need to teach ourselves about character before we teach it to our kids. See what I'm saying? The things that we teach the younger generation, we need to be practicing those things as well in our life. Authenticity is so huge in the alpha demographic, all right? Under the age of 10, and even with Gen Zers. Authenticity is everything. Because our kids are watching to see if we are authentic. Oswald Chambers said it beautifully. I love this quote. The expression of Christian character is not God doing, it's God likeness. We shouldn't just desire our kids to be, the young generation, to be good kids that have a good behavior. We want them to have God likeness. And so we need to train the next generation in good character, but we also need to show kids what it's like to know God and what it's like to be like God, to be Christ-like, although we can never be God. As parents, one way to help form character is through discipline. And that discipline is also a form of discipleship, isn't it? Discipline's never fun. You know, I'm trying to be more healthy. If I want to be more healthy, I have to stay true to my goals, to achieve the goal of health, to eat more healthy, to cutting most carbs and most sugars, to walks, to runs, which I hate. Pastor Clay's pretty good at them, though. Working out, swimming, all those things. I'm not achieving those goals if I'm just binge-watching Netflix and eating Ruffles potato chips that I so desire. Now, before my life journey, Kim and I, before this kind of journey on health, my wife and I went to Costco, and Costco is like amazing, but it's also terrible in the same way because you get a ton of something, right? Bulk, right? Right before we went on this journey, we bought a massive bag of Ruffles potato chips, right? Salty, really good, and I can tell you the truth, it's not open. But every time I go into the kitchen, it calls my name. And it speaks to me. It says, Trevor, eat me. Don't leave me alone. It calls my name every time I go into the kitchen. I've got to stay disciplined. We should probably just scrap that bag, Kim. What do you think? Yeah, we probably should. We'll give it to Eddie or something. Yeah, that's good choice. That's right. Discipline and character go hand in hand. And what connects the two is love. And how do we know how to love? We love because he first loved us. Who's he? Jesus. Jesus first loved us. Parents know that when they let their children to their own wills, it sets parenting up for much heartache and heartbreak. Hebrews 12:6 says, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And to put this in a parenting context this morning, all children need discipline, and all discipline should be done in love. Phil Vischer, people should know who Phil Vischer is. He's the creator of VeggieTales, and all you can sing a song right now that he has created. He's pretty good with kids and parents, and he says, as parents, our goal isn't behavioral modification. Our goal isn't just morality. Morality is an outcome. The goal we are looking for is spiritual formation. We have spiritual formation in one quote, and we have God-likeness in the other. Are we sensing a theme? And the Bible addresses the importance of our outward behavior and our inner soul. Both are what's driven by what's in our inner soul, our heart. Church, what's present in your hearts this morning, in the depths of your soul? What's present in your child's soul? What's present, what's going on in your child's heart, your grandchild's heart? And when it comes to our kids, we need to try to examine that. What's happening? What are the hardships? What's happening? How can I pray? How can we pray? And the Art of Parenting gives a list of 20 great character qualities for your kids and how we should be praying for them. And I think it's the next slide. All right, so if we look at this slide, if you could even take a picture, if you're going to be attending our Art of Parenting course over the next 4 weeks, it'll be in your workbook. But if you want to try to find or figure out ways to be praying for character in your kids or your grandkids, just take a picture of that and speak those things into your prayers for your kids. Even talk about them with your kids at home, your grandkids. So 5 intentional ways for you to help build character in your kids. Number 1, to build a strong foundation. It is done when you set out a plan. Have a plan for what you want to accomplish. Focus more on the heart than behavior. A lot of times it's easy to focus on behavior, isn't it? Right? F- focus on their heart. Parents, number three, are the primary spiritual provider. I had this, it was kind of eye-opening. I went to a kids pastor's conference. I've had the privilege of going 2 years in a row this year. I won't be attending. I'm kind of sad about it, but it was in Florida. And these people were walking around with this shirt that said one and slash 168. And 168 stood for the amount of hours in a week. The top number stood for how many hours we as kids pastors and kids workers get to spend time with your kids. Now here it might be a little bit higher if the kids go to kids club and all that kind of good stuff we put on. But one out of 168, it just shows the importance of the parent's role. And we as a church, our hope and our goal is to help resource and help encourage as you raise your kids to be godly kids, not just good kids, right? So as kids pastor and family pastor and even our pastors on staff, we encourage you. We are praying for you. We you know, if there's anything that we could help in resources, we'd love to do that. Just give me an email or a phone call whenever you can. Number four, Jesus should be the core of your parenting, not just a component of your parenting. Number five, keep your marriage your priority relationship in your house. Keep your marriage your priority relationship in your house. Pray together, meaningful discussion, serve each other, romance. Am I just going to have like a ton more people now that I mention romance for... Yeah, amen. Date nights. Those things are important. I even talked to a parent. I'm not going to single this person out, but they said, we haven't even had a date night since we had kids. Yeah, I'm so thankful for date nights. Pray together, meaningful discussion. And I just want to say to those that are single, parenting, I couldn't imagine. We commend you, and I couldn't imagine how difficult it is this day and age to parent alone. I just want to let you know we're praying for you, and if there's any way that we could help, just please reach out. The second essential area to pass on is healthy relationships. If we can all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7 to 9. And I love this scripture. I've mentioned it before in church. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. And this scripture is so important for all parents and parents-to-be. And this context of scripture comes from the Hebrews, who were extremely successful at making their faith an integral part of life, which we all should have. And the reason for their successes was that religious education didn't just happen in the four walls of a church. It was life-oriented. It had everything to do with life, not just what happened at church. They used the context of daily life to teach about God. It's like us bringing the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. Has anybody heard that around here? We hear that a lot. What would happen? It would be revolutionary if we did that with our families at home. Bringing the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. They believed wholeheartedly that if they wanted their children to follow God, that they should involve God in everyday experiences. How can we involve Jesus into our everyday experiences? Think about it. Think about your day. You wake up. What are some things, what are some routines that you have in the morning? Do you have breakfast with your kids? Do you walk them to school? Do you drive them to school? Do you walk them to the bus? You know, what's something that you do with them after, what do you do at home after school? Think about kind of your routines. What do you do? How can you bring faith into your everyday experiences? I'm telling you, like Kim and I were like outside in our backyard and we've got an amazing view. We've got amazing view. We don't have ocean view. We don't have ocean view, but we could see the mountains, right? It's really easy to talk to our kids about creation when we live in a place like Comox, right? Or the Comox Valley, right? Creation is just so like evidently there. It's beautiful, right? What are some other ways that we could talk about our faith with our kids? To teach the next generation to see God in all aspects of life, not just what's happening here at the church. Kids are watching to see if we really believe what we see, what we say. They are looking to see what it means for us to trust God in when life gets challenging. Because in life, it gets so challenging. It can get so challenging. What it means to show love or to show kindness, what it looks like to forgive, what it means to have faith in something that's bigger than ourselves. Author John Mark Comer describes it like this: to have faith in something is simply to live as if it's true. It means to put your trust in something or someone and remain loyal to it, to put your complete faith and remain loyal. It doesn't mean we do things perfectly, because we can't do things perfectly. Any perfect people here in the church? Any perfect? No? Oh, John didn't put up his hand. That's good. We don't have perfect people. We are flawed people. That's right. If they are watching to see that you know, it'll be okay to mess up, because they'll mess up. What does it look like when we mess up? They're watching how we handle that. Authenticity is everything with the Alpha generation. They are also watching where and how we put place our hope and our trust in God. They're watching that. So let's quickly go through this scripture that is so full of application, the one that we read from Deuteronomy. Number one, it says, impress your faith on your kids. Are we being listeners of the word, but are we being doers of the word? What are we doing with all the knowledge and all the wisdom that we're gaining from messages and life groups and all these things? Our devotional life. Are we sharing some of these things that we're learning? Share it with your family. Don't keep it to yourself. What are you learning in your faith? Share it to the next generation. Talk about your faith when you are sitting, right? We've got the dinner tables. We've got the couch. Try to think of creative ways to bring up faith. Talk about faith when you are on the road, right? Some of us drive a fair bit, right? Bring opportunities to try and bring up faith. Talk about creation. Talk about things as you drive by them. Talk about faith when you lie down. Find times when your kids are the most open. For our kids, when they were younger, the times that they were most open was at bedtime. And they were the most just open about how the day went or any concerns or anything that we can be praying for them about. And I heard this great advice: to buy a bigger bed. Buy a bigger bed for your kids. Don't just buy the small single bed or whatever. Buy a bigger bed so you can lie beside them. And ironically, my daughter's bed is quite small now that she's a teenager. But when they're young, lie beside them and just talk with them, pray with them, and just spend time with them. Spend that quality time. Kids want that quality time. Number five, write messages around the house. Now, a few key ways. My mom did that at Christmas time on our Christmas tree. It kind of drove me nuts, but You'd go to other people's houses, and they would have just the main ornaments and whatever. And my mom did was she would write verses about what Christmas was really about, and that was about Jesus. And so she would always try to bring back, okay, Christmas is so much more about than presents. It's about Jesus. And the other thing she did was she made a birthday cake every year for our church, for our churches. My parents were pastors. And so we'd have a big birthday cake for Jesus, just to help bring our focus back to Jesus rather than presents. Just little things you can do. And you guys are creative people. You guys could come up with better ideas, I'm sure. There is so much rich stuff in this scripture. Like, take a look at it and try to figure out ways to apply that scripture. Dennis Rainey, who's the author of The Art of Parenting, which we're going to be going over the next 4 weeks, says that the essence of a parent's jobs comes down to this. Let the children know that they are loved. Let our kids know that they are loved, our grandkids. Let the next generation know that they are loved. Second, train them to love God. Train our kids to love God. Train your grandkids to love God. And what do you think the third one is? Train our kids to love others. Loving God and loving others go hand in hand, church. Teach your kids how to love others. The ability to build, maintain, and restore relationship is a must-have skill in your home is a great way to start, especially training siblings on loving each other. That's a tough one, isn't it? My kids are perfect, so I wasn't never, you know, any issue there. Train your kids and to love each other. It's a long, intentional process. In our home, we have to train our dog and our cat not to have UFC fights all the time. And cage matches. It's crazy. I was working out last night in our basement, and the whole time they were just fighting, right? I was like, man, am I? It was like my kids were like, you know, four and five or something, you know, back in the day. Our kids need to be trained in forgiveness and friendship. There was a story I heard from a family. They had this bowl of random actions in the middle of their table. And there was actions such as like pay someone a compliment today, do a chore for somebody, say hi to a neighbor, do something nice for a classmate. So it was in the middle of the table. And so the whole family would grab one of these pieces of paper. And it was their task for that day that they had to do this act of kindness. So they called it the bowl of kindness. This is a great way. Activities like this help train kids to think of others before they think of themselves. It even gives some emphasis on the adults doing the same, that they're doing these actions as well. Three intentional ways to help the younger generation learn about healthy relationships. Let your kids know that they are loved. Most important, let your grandkids know they are loved. And then train them to love God and to love others. Two, develop an environment of kindness and peace in your household. You prepare your children for future friendships. Number three, pursue a relationship with each child. Get to know each child, know their heart, spend time, quality time with them. I really enjoyed, I still wish my daughter had an L on the back of our car rather than an N, because I just loved teaching my daughter how to drive. It wasn't scary, which is crazy, but it just gave opportunities for her and I to just drive together. We went to Starbucks together. We'd drive around, and that was a honest, like a great time. Now for my son, it just wasn't a great experience, right? So you find different ways for him. I coached a lot of his school sports, right? Kids are all wired so uniquely. You've got to figure out what works, right? So we have character, relationships, and now identity. Identity is a big one nowadays. And Psalms 139, 13 to 14. Follow along with me. You can read or open your Bible to it. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Isn't this a great scripture? I love these scriptures because it reiterates that God's character is in every one of you. That God's character has been placed in every one of you. And all the kids downstairs, God's character is in every one of those kids that's represented in our church. Everyone in this world. That in those times when we are low, maybe even feeling worthless, that we can remember that God's Spirit is within us and ready and willing to work with you and help you through those hard times. As emotional health is at this all-time low, we can speak this verse into our kids, couldn't we? That they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you guys with me? The scripture alone shows us that we should have love and respect for ourselves just like Jesus has for us. And the greatest thing is that God does not make mistakes. He created us. He created your kids. And God does not make mistakes. The search for identity always begins in God. Search for identity always begins in God, not within our autonomous self. That God has purposes for every life that he creates. Our purpose on earth is to follow Jesus and to reach others for him. To know who we are meant to be, we need to know who God is and how we relate to him. We need to seek him in all we do. Tim Keller says, our security, our priorities, all the things we call identity should be based on what God has done for us and in us. Love that quote. As parents, we need to guide our kids in their search of their identity because the world is telling them so much. There's a lot of lies that go around. We need to tell our kids, influence our kids, and let them know what their identity is. Our truest identity is that we are found in Christ. Do I hear amen? We could do this by speaking life into our kids. That God created each person, which means he designed each person, and we are wonderfully made. And what makes our children unique? What makes our children unique? If you think about your kids, what makes them unique? And I did this exercise that you will see on the screen, and I want you to, like, kind of take my name out of it, my kids. But here's a few things that I mentioned about my kids. Personality for Noah, quiet, independent, skill. He's great with kids, special interests, sports, journalism. What do I love about him? He's thoughtful. He's generous. Personality for Haley, life of the party. She's fun. She's great with kids, teaching, special interests, healthy living, preparing for future. What do I love about her? She's driven. She's hard worker, generous. Now, I want you to take out all my stuff for my kids. I want you to think about your kids. This is a great exercise for parents. Do we, as parents, delight in our children's giftings, their talents, their interest? Because some of those things don't really maybe represent me, right? My kids are so different than I am. Maybe some of them are interwoven. I remember he's quiet. He kind of keeps to himself a little bit more than I for sure would, and we ended up giving him a Visa card. Okay, I know that sounds scary. We ended up giving him a Visa just in case of emergencies, and plus he did a big Europe trip after he graduated, and so One day, Kim noticed, "Hey, why is there registration. He paid for registration for college. We had no idea that he applied for college, paid for college. And we're like, and it was a good chunk of change. And so we're like, hey, Noah, like, what's this money that's going to Okanagan College? And it looks like you paid for a course or paid for to enter the program. And so here we're having this chat with him. And he's like, yeah, I'm moving to Kelowna or Vernon. And I'm going to be taking journalism. I was like, what? Like, we absolutely had no idea that, and maybe that's the error of parenting, I have no clue, right? Our kids are, you know, they're all so different. So that day we found out that we're losing our son to the Okanagan, and he's going to school, and he's been there for this past year. And he paid for his own school, paid us back. And even the thought about journalism, we're like, wow, we didn't even know that he liked to write. That's very interesting. Okay. It was very interesting that we learned this about our son. And we're embracing it because, hey, if God's put something on his heart, we're gonna cheerlead him through this. If you ask me what my least favorite thing here at work probably is writing. And that's something that I'm trying to get better at. We embrace their uniqueness and we encourage and affirm our kids' giftings and talents, don't we? I know for a matter of fact that kids in this church are full of life and character. And me being the kids pastor, I get to hang out with your kids. And I really love those moments that you could ask me, hey, what do you love about my kids? I can name a few things, I'm sure. We've got a lot of kids that are full of life and character. As parents, we could speak into these during our one-on-one connections with our kids. Our one-on-one connections are so important. I'm way over time, am I? Okay, sorry. Ephesians 2:10, let's try to fast forward, talks about knitting again. So knitting's a real theme, all right? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. By showing your kids this unconditional love and acceptance, you help them embrace their God-given identity. So the fourth essential area to pass on is mission. And I read this great article by Dr. Lawson Murray. I'm going to zip through it real quick. On the missional family, that reflecting God's love in everyday life. And he mentions how every Christian family should be a lighthouse that reflects Jesus to the world. And he encourages 9 things, all right? So first, to have a conversation at home, to ask questions like, are we a family of mission? What can we do together? What are our hopes, our dreams, our challenges? 2, that we create a family motto that is unifying, empowering to capture how God wants your family to live. Pray together as a family. The more you give opportunities to pray, the more you're hearing God speak back to your family and you rely on him more. Draw a map of your neighborhood. Who are your neighbors? What are the names, the needs, and pray for them by name. 5, initiate conversations. Being missional is being the church wherever you are. That we need to be missional in the way that we are and our family is. At work, at school, neighborhood, grocery store. 6, invite others to join you. Missional families walk closely with Jesus and invite others to join in. Invite your friends along to meet with those you are rubbing shoulders with. We had this awesome opportunity on Wednesday. I was invited by Mike and Laura and Dale, wherever Dale is, there he is. And they play volleyball on Wednesdays. And and they invited Lauren and I, Pastor Lauren and I, to go along as well. And here we are. We're at this restaurant after volleyball. And the 5 of us are on one end. And then Brenda's on the other end, right? We're us 5 and this other fellow that I'd walked in with, and we've been kind of chatting. And I remember as we're talking, he goes, "Hey, what do you do for work?" And I hate getting asked that question because it could be such a buzzkill. I'm not embarrassed about who I am and that I'm a pastor. But sometimes when you say I'm a pastor, it shuts down discussions pretty well. Right? But here we are, the five of us. We're a group of people that love others, love people, have fun together. And what a great testimony for that. Invite others in your discussions, in your opportunities when you're rubbing shoulders with people. Number seven, to exercise hospitality. Find ways to welcome people into your home. Canucks are in the playoffs. Come on now, who's... Amen. Amen. Invite people along the journey of the Stanley Cup with the Canucks. Invite people that don't know Jesus to come into your home. Number eight, to be generous. Generosity reminds us that life isn't just about us. It transforms the heart of people. Generosity can be done in different ways. It could be done with money. It could be with time. Share with others. Give time to by mowing lawns, painting, stuff like that. Number nine, to volunteer. Volunteering helps children realize that they can make a significant difference in life. Volunteering the church together as a family, soup kitchen, handing out food to the homeless. Ultimately, being a missional family is about walking closely with Jesus and inviting others to follow him. And while you do these good works, share the stories behind your choice to follow Jesus and offer opportunities for questions, for prayer, and just to get to know others. And in closing, minding the gap is so important to reach this generation for Christ. There is so much at stake. But together, if we can live authentically, own our shortcomings, be led by Jesus, and keep him number one in our life, we can make a difference as a village. Parents around you need support. I'm thankful for you, the church, our family, because it's taken a village to raise my kids as well. What I want you to do is just as the music's playing, I just want you to maybe reach out to another family. Like you have people around. Now I just want you to pray together. And if you're a family, you have kids, pray for your kids. But also, I want you to be praying for the Christian kids of our valley. I just want you to take a minute or 2 minutes, okay? As the music's playing, there's people around you. Just, if you could pray for those things, that'd be great. All right? Even pray for ways that you could live more missionally wherever you are. Okay? Let's break.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.